two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Dave, I almost feel like I'm grasping at ropes of sand, trying to pull and keep Utah's home prices in check. We keep setting these crazy records, and in a moment I'm going to tell you what the new median home price is for the Salt Lake City area. I about fell over.
Things have to cool off eventually, right? I mean, they have to. At some point you burn out of rocket fuel.
Nobody's going to live here. They can't afford to live here. And you know, these are the homes with the avocado green toilets from the 70s still installed. The pink tile.
They're coming back, Deb. Stop bad-mouthing the avocado green toilet.
You know what I mean, though. That's the home you look at online and you're thinking, oh, my goodness.
Replace.
$100,000 remodel wouldn't even touch it. Okay, you ready for this, Dave?
Yeah.
Ooh, Amber, do we have our drum roll, please? Amber's going to try to find the drum roll before I give you the price. $450,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't breathe.
Thomas Wright is the owner and president of and principal broker of Summit Sotheby's International Realty in Utah. It sounds so official, Thomas.
It's not, believe me.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, those ropes of sand are like sand through the hourglass. So is our opportunity for our children to ever purchase a home in Salt Lake City.
Well, prices are still going up. I hate to tell you. I know it's gasp time, but they're still going up. Inventory seems like it may be bottoming out a little bit at 7,000 listings across the state, so it doesn't look like it's going to go any lower. So at this point, it really seems like rising interest rates is the only thing that can slow it down. Prices are going to keep going up. I hate to say that, but there's just so many factors pointing that direction.
I was fascinated to read in the Wall Street Journal. They just posted this story maybe 15 minutes before the show started, and it talked about the national average. The average cost of homes is $350,000 across the country. So to hear that ours in Salt Lake is $100,000 over that, I think that really gives some insight that, yeah, Utah is red hot. Why?
It's red hot. It is. You know, everybody loves being here. So people have figured it out. There's a big migration into Utah. But even bigger than that, probably a bigger contributing factor is that nobody leaves. People that are here stay. Our kids want to stay. People that live here and go to school here want to stay. There's really no out migration. And so you see that not balancing itself out. A lot of people coming, nobody leaving. And then you combine that with a decade of a shortage of inventory. This problem was going on. It's been going on for a decade. Many of us have been screaming from the rooftops about it. Short supply, high demand. Then you combine the pandemic on top of it, where production stopped, materials became harder to get, the labor market became tight, and then the stimulus money poured into the market. And now here you are in a really hot economy with a lot of liquidity. And that shortage of inventory that was there before now is greatly exacerbated. It's a huge problem now. What was once a smaller problem is now huge. And the price escalation is just skyrocketing. Just the last few months, it went from a trend line up to a kind of a skyrocketing trend line. And it could go, I mean, it could go up even higher, a lot higher. Okay. I don't even want to say the number. Okay. I think it could go to.
Whoa. That's all
out.
I want to hear.
Okay. So
I know. See how good I am at the teaser?
Okay. Look into your crystal ball. I mean, look up into outer space. How high do you expect that $450,000 number to go?
I really hate predictions because you just never know in this world. It's a very unpredictable world. You never know what's going to happen. Something could happen tomorrow and change everything.
But Thomas, we love using this kind of stuff against you later. So just go ahead.
I know. Oh, don't I know? Believe me, I know all about that.
Give us a number.
Well, you know what? It could go as high as 600,000. I'm not saying that it will, but it could. And if it continues on this trend line and the demand that we're seeing, it could go up into the mid high fives. So I don't know how high it will go. But it's certainly not slowing down right now. It's not slowing down anywhere. And the thing that you have right now, if you look, I have a little chart that I look at all the time, and it's 10 things that indicate there's a housing bubble. And we're seeing three of the 10 things, but only three. So, when you have interest rates this low and people are shopping payment, even if prices continue to go up just a little bit, people can still afford it, and they need housing, so they buy it. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, you said the key, the word that chills everybody's bones, the bubble. Why is this not a bubble like we saw back in 2008? Was it all fixed because of the loans?
Yeah, that was a big part of it, the loan fraud and everything, the scams that were going on with underwriting. But the seven things that we're not seeing is – that's one of them, the fraud and the scams. But weak underwriting, that's not there. The underwriting is still really strict, really strong. You don't see decreasing equity via cash out because the economy is so good. You don't see that rising inventory. Inventory is at an all-time low right now. You're not seeing an increase of days on the market. If anything, it's going down. And there's no spike in interest rates. So with all of those things staying where they are, there's plenty of people in the market that need to buy, that want to buy, and that are going to bite the bullet. Now, there are a few people out there that are losing that have-to-have-it mentality, and that's one of the things we've seen gone.
Okay.
People are developing a fear. They develop this fear of missing out, and they say, I got to have it. People are kind of stepping back. I see in many of our offices and with many of our brokers, people that are getting a little bit of fatigue, no doubt about it, and they're looking for alternatives.
Okay, I want to touch more on alternatives, but probably today is not the day to do it because we want to stick to this conversation about the rise in home prices. $450,000 you just predicted here for the first time.
It may go as high as 600,000. I don't mean to talk over you.
You're good, Thomas. It's all right. We're all friends here. It's all good. I know where you're coming from. Okay. People are going in and spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 over asking price. Are they getting those appraisals to match their that price that they're bidding on or that they're offering?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, surprisingly, they are. Many people in their office are waiving the appraisal contingency. They're saying, I'm going to get an appraisal, but it's not contingent on that. But we don't see as many appraisal problems as you think, and that's primarily because there's so many cash transactions that there are plenty of comps closing without a financing contingency, without an appraisal contingency, and they're paying cash. So the people that need the comps to get the appraisal have them because of those cash transactions. And that's partly people that are paying cash. It's investors that are buying up inventory, hedging against inflation, paying cash. But there's not a big appraisal problem, surprisingly, because of those cash transactions.
Are the buyers primarily investors, or are they just our kids that are finally getting into homes?
Both. Individual investors are buying up quite a bit of inventory. We're not seeing big institutional investors as big as we've seen in the past join the game, but they probably will, and they are definitely out there, and they are buying, but not in the quantity they typically do. It's mostly buyers that are buying, but there are obviously plenty of investors. As people realize gains on their investments and have 1031 exchanges where they want to exchange a property for another property, they're in the market. And instead of taking the tax hit, they have to buy real estate. So they are willing to maybe overpay a little bit or pay a premium because they don't want to incur the taxes on the capital gains they had from the previous property. And so you have our children, so to speak, that are trying to buy homes against that. And then you have this tremendous liquidity because of the stimulus, and it's just a really competitive, appreciating, low inventory market.
Thomas Wright, thank you so much for joining us. He's the principal broker of Summit Sotheby's International Realty in Utah. We enjoy his conversations. And that's a staggering number, Debbie. $450,000 currently is the median home price. And Thomas, he's not making a prediction as much as you wanted to make a prediction. But he could see it creeping up.
Possibly.
To 600,000. Possibly.
Insane. Hey, straight ahead. The Utah Polytechnic State University proposed name. Is there a chance, because it's been met with controversy, that the school might ditch the name and change it up? We're going to have a live interview with a school official from Dixie State University as they are attempting to change the name to Utah Polytechnic State University to ask them that question in 3 minutes.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.